You hear today a lot of people saying, "Oh, AI, it's not capable. It makes errors. It hallucinates." I think the people who are saying that are still looking backwards 6 months, 10 months ago. When they look at what's possible today, the issue is not it's not capable enough. It's too capable. It's too cheap. And now, essentially, the price of intelligence is going to drop down to the price of electricity.
Hello, welcome to the Big Bang Tech Report, where we decode the technologies reshaping business, power, and society. Is AI hype peaking, or are we entering a winner-takes-it-all area? This could be the headline of our conversation. Alvin, great to see you.
Good to see you again, Jens. I'm looking forward to our conversation. As we said earlier, there's just so much happening. So I think we will have a lot to discuss today.
Isn't it incredible? In only 14 days, what's happening in the world?
Yeah, pretty much every single lab in the world has released a new version, and they are all dramatically better than the prior ones. And the speed of change, I think that's the difference that I'm worried about.
Well, let's talk about it. But first of all, we have had topic number one. We have had a headline. We have five topics. And the first one is we have had a headline in Germany that Warren Buffett, everybody knows Warren Buffett, that he has sold Apple and Amazon shares. So the hype is over?
Well, I mean, I think anybody who follows Warren Buffett understands he's a value investor, right? Yeah. And value investors buy things that are undervalued. And the reality is that companies like Amazon or Apple or Nvidia has gone up dramatically over the last couple of 3 years. So the fact that he's taking some money off the table, I think, is actually very natural. But the one actually interesting thing that he did do is he added more Google. Mm-hmm. So it's not an issue of tech. I think he's doing a rotation to see which ones are valued properly and which ones are undervalued. And we discussed Google, remember, a few episodes ago. And I think, he's probably seeing some of the same things that we have been talking about.
That Google is in advance. Do you see that too? That we have so many information about all the models and who is leading, who is winning. And this is our topic number two. Where do you see the different models right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's not an issue of whether or not Google has a better model. They have definitely one of the top models. But the thing is that they have the full stack. And really nobody else right now on the market has that, right? They have the chips, they have the users, they have the data, they have the models, and they have the app ecosystem. And so when you have everything and they have a very large revenue base that they can work on, so they don't need to borrow money. Mm-hmm. Whereas all the other labs really are either getting investments or loans to sustain their business because they're all money losing businesses. So I think that's their difference. It's not about the technology. It's about the whole ecosystem around them.
So for you, Google first?
I think Google's in a very safe place. Companies like OpenAI and even Anthropic, I think, are in very precarious places because they are so dependent on external revenue. They're losing, $10+ billion a quarter right now in that range, and that means they need to continue to raise money. And they're announcing they're going to raise $50 or $100 billion over the next few months. But again, that all depends on investor sentiment. And sentiment changes very quickly, as we know.
Yeah.
So, and if any time they don't raise, what happens is that they cannot, build out the type of things that they have planned. They start to have to cancel orders. The trust and the expectations go down, and then everything else becomes much more difficult.
And I've had the headline here in Germany that OpenAI was buying something. What was it?
yeah. OpenAI bought OpenClaw. Remember, 2 weeks ago we talked about OpenClaw, ClawBot. But the fact that they essentially negotiated a deal where they bought this one person company. Remember earlier you asked, is there a possibility for a one person company to create a $1 billion company? And in fact, essentially within a few weeks of us talking about it, it happened, and it was an agent based company, one guy, in Austria, who probably sold for somewhere around $1 billion to OpenAI. Right? Yeah. So I think that actually is very consequential because OpenClaw. To me, is actually the DeepSeek moment or the ChatGPT moment for agents. And now everybody in the world talks about agents, and you know, everybody's experimenting with it. Now, I think that that is going to change the trajectory of this industry going forward. Whether or not they become the winner, it's not really important. But I think it's now spawned off hundreds of people building on top of their code base to make other agents.
But until now, we do not have the impression here, especially here in Germany, that the agents are coming and that agents are more important. And we say, okay, let's have a look and so on. But ChatGPT is more or less, or Gen AI is more or less everywhere, but agents, so we do not follow right now.
Yeah, so I think the difference is agents is a little bit more complicated from a technology perspective to set up, and it takes a little bit more training for you to take advantage of it, and it's relatively new, right? So the fact that it hasn't become part of the popular discussion is actually less important. But if you talk to developers, you talk to enterprise IT people, they're all talking about agents right now. And right now, when you create a team of agents to orchestrate it towards a task, it is able to complete the task of, you know, 10 developers in one or two days, what would take a month for these developers to do. And so this is very dramatic. And actually, in fact, if you look at the last few days on the stock market, the last 2 weeks, actually, all of the companies that are losing value on the stock market is because of agent technology. It's because of the fact that people are saying, oh, I don't need to build a creative suite with Adobe anymore. Oh, you know, yesterday, IBM dropped by 13% because Claude Code says I can now code in COBOL. And COBOL used to be something that, you know, IBM and their mainframes used. And so everybody expected them to have that as a service revenue for a very long time. But now if somebody can just, you know, have an AI agent do the work, then that service revenue goes away, right? So there's a lot of real underlying issues that are happening that the populist isn't talking about.
People do not know exactly what's going on. And you sent me a WhatsApp, I think one day ago, and I read it and I said, okay, this is a real wake-up call. I'm talking about the US report, Citrini Research, which is going viral. And the headline is the 2028 Global Intelligence Crisis. So this is a study about the future, and it looks back to the present. So tell us what's going on there.
I think you have to take everything with a slight grain of salt with these reports, because it is essentially a near future fiction, right?
Yeah.
So what they're doing is forecasting what could happen. And it's a way of telling a story to get people's attention, which I think it's actually a very valid and possible future. And it really depends on what we as a society, and also what the governments do in the near term to help reduce that shock. Because what they're predicting is that by 2028, the economy and the job market collapses, right? And you know, we don't need to go into all the details, but it is actually a lot of it because of what we just talked about. The fact that AI agent can do so much, so capable, so cheaply, so quickly, that all the companies will choose to use agent AI versus humans. And then the entire economy starts to collapse because now there's no more wages, there's nobody buying, and then the whole cycle starts to become a negative reinforcing cycle. And I think that is possible because, you know, you hear today a lot of people saying, oh, you know, AI, it's not capable, it makes errors, it hallucinates. I think the people who are saying that are still looking backwards 6 months, 10 months ago. When they look at what's possible today, the issue is not it's not capable enough. It's too capable. It's too cheap. And now essentially the price of intelligence is going to drop down to the price of electricity. Right. And that changes.
Once again, we have to stress it again. The price of intelligence is going down to the price of electricity. Wow. Yeah. We have to think about it again.
Here's a piece of data to think about. At least in the U.S., around 65% of the workforce are cognitive workers, white-collar workers.
Yeah. Right?
They account for about 70 to 75% of the payroll. They account for 80%+ of the spending.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that class of workers is decimated, maybe not even 100%, let's say 50%, let's say 20%, how would the economy look? And it would not look very good at all. And this is, you know, according to them, it's going to take to 2028 before it happens. I actually think it's going to happen maybe faster. If we don't, if we let the natural forces go, it will go faster. In fact, I saw an interview this morning with the author of that Citrini research paper, and he said they wanted to make it far away enough that it doesn't scare people too much, but close enough that people pay attention. But they actually think it could happen faster, and I agree with them.
You know, the attention is the currency of journalism. But once again, for everybody, the core warning is: companies replace workers with AI. Okay, check. They save costs and buy more AI. Okay, check. Which enables more layoffs, and then displaced workers spend less, demand weakness in the markets, and companies automate even more to protect margins. And yes. AI keeps getting better and cheaper, like you have told us, and the cycle accelerates. And this is really a dramatic way we are going, right?
Yeah, and I think beyond that, it's not just the economic and financial aspect, it's the societal stability aspect. That's the thing that they don't really talk about. They talk about the economic impact. Actually, I think what's more important is that there will be social instability, right? When you start having 20, 30% of your population becoming unemployed, this is what happened in Germany, you know, before the World War II. This is what happened, you know, in the US during the Great Depression, is that that level of unemployment and the social fabric breaks. And when that happens, we don't know what's going to happen, right? That's the scary part.
Well, we hope that it won't come. But once again, to the study, they talk about companies too, like ServiceNow, SAP, the big software companies. Normally we would say, oh, wow, they are so stable, they are fantastic. But what's going on with these companies when the agents are coming?
Well, I mean, this is the issue, is that they're all software companies. And rather than saying, hey, if I'm a business, do I spend hundreds of thousands a year on this software or millions of dollars a year on the software? Or do I just ask my AI agent to build what I need? Maybe it's not a full function, but you know, maybe in a few days or a week or a month, I can build it. And it costs me, you know, a few thousand dollars or maybe, you know, $10,000 instead of paying a few million dollars, right? And I think a lot of companies, when they start to have margin pressure, when they start to see what's possible with this technology, that choice becomes very clear.
Yeah. And then we have the financial area, MasterCard and Visa. What's going on with them? I think they are very secure or not?
Well, so this is the other issue, is that in the past, people talk about, humans have locked in, they have brand loyalty, they make decisions based on more out of habits than out of rationality. But what people are talking about now is that you will have essentially an agent layer to do the commerce, whether it's the B2B commerce or B2C commerce. If you say, hey, I have this OpenClaw agent that will now help me buy everything I need, I just tell it, hey, I need the cheapest toilet paper, or the cheapest car, or the cheapest rental on my travel. It will go and find that deal for me. It doesn't care what payment system I'm using. It doesn't care which advertiser to put what ads on. It just finds the best deal for me. Right. And so it takes all the friction out of the system, and it takes all the loyalty out of the system. And so you may have direct transactions. I think the financial industry will be disrupted. It's unclear how quickly the payment side, because they will still probably use payments, although a lot of people are saying agents will probably use crypto payments because it's more directly accessible to them. But I don't know there's enough of the rails around that yet. But I think that is also a possible place to go, as well as financial services. If you're a stockbroker, somebody that you've usually, because you all your accounts are there, it's hard to move. But if in the future somebody says, hey, I can get you another broker that can give you services at one third the price, and they can do the same thing, and you say, okay, agent, go make that happen. So there will be very soon very little loyalty in terms of the big banks and the big brokerages. So there's a lot of things that people aren't considering. And all of this does is takes away the entire, it removes margin out of the system. It makes the system more efficient. So this is going to be an issue across the board on all of the industries.
Well, a lot of people live very well because of the inefficiency that the markets are not efficient, you know? And especially, why do we need 100? In Germany, we have more than 100 insurances because nobody knows which is the best, and there is a lot of things that are different. And so you trust on or rely maybe on the best agent,
And
the real
then there's
agent, not
also the
just.
stickiness of the friction of switching, the switching costs, right? Because there was always, you have to fill out different forms, you have to get different validations. Now all of that can be done for you. You just say, give me the best price, give me the most best rating, right? And I'm really worried because every part, when all those efficiencies are taking out, that means all of those wages are taking out, and that means all of those jobs are going away, right? So that's the big issue. And I don't think our economies is and our society is ready for it, and our governments are definitely not preparing for it.
And so we have AI compresses both value chains and purchasing power. And the real disruption path is automation, weaker demand, and more automation. So there is something going on, like a wheel, right? And
So we I think the thing is we need to start getting governments to wake up so they can step in and help slow it down, right? Slow down I'm not saying slow down technical progress, but slow down the transition, because natural economic forces will force this to be very to increasingly accelerate, because like what the flywheel that you just described. So we need to make it harder for people to be fired. We need to make it where we move from a 5-day work week to a 4-day work week to a 3-day work week, so that even if you get more efficient, you still need to have some people around so that the economy has a time to adjust, right? And that the and we talked about this before, the prior industrial revolutions took 80, 60, 40 years to play out. And the economy can adapt to that when it has time. And there will be new type of roles. They not may not be paying jobs, but there will be new roles made for people, because we will, I think, become more and more service oriented, more and more human and human relationship oriented, which is fine, which is actually a good thing to do. But we need to give the social safety net so that the people who lose their jobs has a soft landing.
Oh, that's very, very important. And I think, well, the politicians have to learn about it, and they have to do something to build parachutes or something like that. But right now, I think I have the impression that the technology is entering the political scene too, especially in the US and in China, and that you have the impression if you are in advance, if you have the a superior system, superior AI ecosystem, you can do everything by yourself, and you do not need any partnerships, and you do not need the NATO and all this stuff. Do you share this impression?
I think it's there are people in America who believe that, but I think they're mistaken. And they don't realize how interconnected the world is, whether from a supply chain perspective or from a financial perspective or from a trade perspective. And I think they're overplaying the current position. America is definitely right now, I think, in the lead overall on AI, but it is also so dependent on everything else that's happening around the world for that to continue. And it is also dependent on a stable society, stable financial markets for that progress to continue. Because if you think about it, all of this is based, if you look at the last year, America's 80% of the growth in America's GDP was based on AI companies building data centers. So I mean that this is the problem, is that when one sector accounts for so much of the growth, essentially without that, it's a no growth, right? And if people stop investing, if companies and investors stop putting, hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars into this space, that building stops. And when that construction stops, people then say, oh, then how are they going to make more money? Because the whole story has been about you build more data centers, you make more tokens, you sell more tokens, you get more revenue. And what I think a lot of these labs who are telling the story, what they are not also telling you is that the problem that we just talked about is that as you do this, you essentially you're not creating a growing economy. You're creating a more efficient economy, a more productive economy, but you are actually destroying GDP. You are removing value from the market because you are removing inefficiencies from the market. And it's that inefficiency today that accounts for GDP. It's the wages and the living capabilities, the spending of all of those people is what's creating GDP. And when you stop hiring, when you stop spending on wages, there's no cycle. There is no cycle of consumerism. And you know, the building of a data center only lasts a few months, maybe a year. After that, there's only maybe a dozen people that runs that data center. There's no more jobs. You know, there may be 1,000 jobs to build it, but it's a very temporary thing. So what happens to the, you know, 1 million workers that were displaced by that data center, right? Those are the kind of longer term issues that these lab heads are not saying, and the VCs who are backing them are not saying when they go to Washington, D.C. And I think that's a travesty, actually.
So what do you have a solution for us? No.
I wrote about this in December when I released that Stanford paper, Beyond Rivalry, and it talks about what to do. It talks about how do we work together so that instead of building 100 different data centers, 100 different models on thousands of data centers, let's start to work together more, because this technology is a public good. It is being shared. It is being commoditized by open source. So the value is not real. The value that, you know, the OpenAI is going to supposedly go public this year at, you know, $1 to $1.5 trillion based on $10 to $20 billion of revenue. It's not real.
It's insane, isn't it?
It's insane. And based on losing something like $40 to $50 billion. So that's the thing that is very just the economics of that doesn't work. And in, you know, companies like Anthropic is raising, I think, $50 billion on around $400 billion of valuation, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's just all of these companies, they are just being pushed by the financial sector, because everybody wants a new round to be higher than the last round. If at any time you start having a down round, a round where the next round is actually worth less, the entire house of cards will collapse.
Okay, and I know it from the study we talked about. It should happen in autumn 27. They wrote it in the study. Then a crash will come. But okay, we have plenty of time to look at it, and it mustn't be like that, you know.
Yeah, and I think going back to that, my paper is that we start to need to get government to come in. They need to create a social safety net, what I call a GI Bill for the AIH, so that they can create a soft landing for the workers. We also need to create a Marshall Plan for AI so that we start to create more equality of resources to Global South and the developed countries, so that everybody rises together. Because you don't need trillions of dollars. You just need maybe tens or hundreds of billion dollars globally, and everybody has enough. Because right now, why don't we have enough? Is because we are all competing over the same resources. When we start to share resources, we already have 5,000 data centers in America, about 500 in China, about 100 something in India, you know, probably 500-600 in Europe. So there are actually a lot of data centers, a lot of compute resources. And actually one of the most important things we didn't talk about is that all of these things, all the models are getting more and more efficient and smaller, so that very soon they will run on your laptop. They will run on your phone, and it will be good enough for most people. They don't need to all go to the cloud, right? Mm. Not everybody is trying to solve cancer or create quantum physics, right? So it's I feel like we need to change the narrative.
But that's very difficult, because especially in the financial market, the winner takes it all. And do you believe that one day, like ChatGPT, a model was coming and said, oh, I have the best way for agents, and then this is the winner, and the other ones, they will lose immediately?
No. I think this is the false narrative, because every single VC in the Valley thinks that their investment is going to be winner takes all. So they're betting, you know, I hear things like this. They say, oh, the global economy, $110 trillion. You know, we're only investing $1 or $2 trillion, and we'll be able to capture 40 to 50 trillion of that $100 trillion.
Yeah.
Right. It's delusional. Right. Because first of all, they're going to actually destroy economic value. So that 110 might become 80 or 60. Right. And then the value goes down to what we said earlier, to electricity. So when you're paying $1 trillion and electricity is actually only about 10% of the cost of the data centers, of operating data centers. So you essentially your investment of $1 trillion becomes worth about $100 billion. Right. So there is no return on that investment today. And you know, companies like Apple actually, I think, will do better than most, because they're not wasting the $100 billion that companies like Amazon or Google or Microsoft are spending. They're spending a fraction on these data centers because they want to keep cash. And I think when the market crashes, they will have a lot of cash to go buy all of those resources for, you know, pennies on the dollar, just like what happened after the bubble crash for the internet, you know, for all those data centers. So this is something that people don't talk about.
That all these models will become commodities.
They already are commodities. I think that's the thing. If you look at what happened over the last 2 weeks, all of the models that came out of China, open source, 1/10 the cost of the US models to operate, and they're open source and they're free. You can download it and you can run it anywhere. So why do I have to use the expensive models that are running with Claude or with OpenAI?
Yeah.
Right? If you look at the data I just looked yesterday on OpenRouter, which is AI companies who decide what models to use right now, 4 out of the top 5 models for traffic for OpenRouter are Chinese open source models, because they are so much cheaper than the Western closed models.
Wow. And so we are heading to the topic number 5. What's on your mind? We have it in every session here. What's on your mind? You have explained so much things. If there left something you want to share with us?
Well, I think we've been talking about it the whole time, but I think what's really on my mind is, how do we get the governments around the world to wake up? That is the number one thing that your audience should be thinking about, and they should be doing something about it, because we have a small window of probably 6 months to 12 months to start doing something before the impact of this technology gets hold to a part that where it will be hard to return, hard to fix, right? It is still fixable. We're still able to change the trajectory of where the economy goes and how quickly this happens. I'm not saying slow down the technology. I'm saying slow down the economic and social impact of this technology.
Right? Okay.
So that the economy and the society can adapt to it. That's the key. So how can the government get smarter? How can they start to put in preparations and regulations to be able to make AI actually more expensive? The problem is not AI is too expensive. The problem is AI is too cheap. And when it's too cheap, the decision to use AI instead of using a human will happen too quickly. So we need to be able to make AI expensive enough that the decision will slow down. We'll need to make the decision of reducing workforce expensive enough that it's actually worth it for the humans, for the leaders of these companies to make slower decisions on reduction. Right. So I'm just finishing a new report for Stanford. I've been working on it for 5 months. And one of the interesting findings is that even with last year's technology, what CEOs decide to do 42% of the time is to cut workforce when they get productivity gains. And if you think about what's going to happen next year and this year with the new technologies and what is capable now, that number will only go up. And if they, you know, if you see the adoption of this technology go up the way that we are expecting, 42% reduction in workforce is going to decimate the economy.
But normally, if we have to change something, if we have to change something, we need something like a crisis. Otherwise, we wouldn't change it. You know, in your health, you need a heart attack, and then you will have to do sport and all this stuff. Yeah, you need something to change your behavior. So, do we need something like a crash, a crisis, to rethink our behavior?
I think you're right. But I also hope that there are other people who will change their minds from more psychological experiences. Let's say they go to Burning Man and have an enlightenment, or maybe they take ayahuasca and they start to see the light. Right? Mm-hmm. There are different ways to change your mind, and it doesn't always result in a heart because of a heart attack or because you had a life threatening situation. But we'll see. We'll see what's possible. And I hope that our leaders wake up before we have a crisis we cannot return from.
Yeah. So, Evan, the time is over, and we have three, for me, core messages. AI isn't slowing. Competition is intensifying. Technology is entering in our political systems. And the third one is autonomous agents remain the next frontier. That is the message from this session. Yeah, you want to add something?
And it's only accelerating. Every day it's getting faster.
Oh, wow.
That's what people don't understand, is that it's already amazingly quick, but it's only going to get faster. So we have to act. We have to start preparing. That's the key.
So thank you very much, Elvin. Fasten your seatbelt because what's going on. And
yes. And well, hopefully we'll have some better mood, better news next time. So
please, please, please send us better news. We need it because spring is coming in Germany, I think in the US too. And we need something. We need some hope for everything. And for you guys, subscribe the Big Bang Tech Report, where we track the forces shaping the future. And see you next time. Huh?
Yep.
With good
news.
See
you next time.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.